Amen. We're going to get ready to continue in our worship, but I just thank God for every opportunity. Never miss an opportunity to worship. Never miss an opportunity to worship, because it's going to always bless you. Don't look around and wait for everybody else. You worship. You bless God. You praise Him, because He's worthy of all praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. We want to welcome again those that are joining us today. And as we've already stated, this is Communion Sunday, where we'll be preparing to receive that. And we trust that God will bless and move and work in your life. And we also want to just share a couple of things that you need to keep in prayer. Those that are in need of prayer: Doris Austin and her family, Jimmy and Berta Moorfield, Charles and Sandra Thomas. Keep them in prayer. Shirley Clark was in the hospital recently. Continue to pray for her and Garland. Kevin Johnson in the hospital recently. We had Mr. Vincent Patterson, who was hospitalized, and I believe he's now back at home. Rhody Herndon, Tony Smith, Albert Gregory, Doris Clark, and we ask that you would continue to keep them in prayer. Carl Allen and Cliff Daring, keep them in your prayer, as well as your church family and this entire nation and world that we're living in. Keep them in your prayers and ask God to bless them mightily. Amen? Coming up this Saturday, we will be having Community Day here at Crossroad and Car Show for kids. We ask that you would support that. Come out and support us. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and I know it's going to be a real treat to many of you. How many of y'all like old cars and classic cars? All right, so come out and you'll be able to see that on this coming Saturday. Also, this coming Saturday, Dana and AJ, they're going to be getting married, and the Lord's going to bless them. So that's going to be a real treat. Continue to pray and support them as the Lord blesses them in their days ahead in marriage. Amen? Amen. Lastly, before we have one other announcement, we will have a thank you card that comes from Marion Carden. She says, to all of you, somehow just saying thank you doesn't seem like enough, but I hope you know how much your kindness has meant to me. Thank you so much, Marion Carden. And we also have a card that's from Rhody Herndon thanking the church. I mentioned it last week, but I want to just share that again, that she thanks the church for praying for her and supporting her as she was hospitalized recently. We're going to get ready for the offering, but before we do, we know that we have many that have graduated from traditional black colleges and universities, and in our own church, Elizabeth City State University, we have a lot of alumni, and they're in a fundraising season now, and Charlene Copeland is going to come and just mention a little bit about that fundraiser, and will be available after service if you would like to make a donation in support of that. Charlene.
Good morning, Crossroads.
Good morning.
In case for those that do not know me, I'm Charlene Copeland. I've been a member here at Crossroads for almost 20 years now. And very grateful to have this family to support me through all types of things. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Dr. Sandra Copeland, which is my sister-in-law. Both of my brothers also went to Elizabeth City State University, so they are very vested in their college and giving back. And she has been nominated to be Miss Alumni of Elizabeth City State University, HBCU. As Pastor Coleman said, in campaign season at this time, and I thank Pastor for allowing me to be able to speak about this, Sandra Copeland graduated from Elizabeth City State University in 71. She also, I'm just going to name a few things. She's done right many. She has a college scholarship fund in respect to Ms. Lee, which is a very prominent lady in that area as well. Also, she is AKA. She's also lifetime membership of the Alpha Kappa Sorority Society, as well as lifetime NAACP. She also has a master's degree. She taught for Chesapeake, Virginia for 32 years, And once she retired from that position, she went back to her alma mater and became a professor and also mentored there for over 10 years. She has a master's degree and just has done many things to try to give back to her community, Virginia and North Carolina as well. She has a letter here that she has sent out. It says, "Dear family and friends, I bring to you greetings from the Copeland family and pray that the message finds you safe and well. As most of you know, I am a proud 1971 graduate of Elizabeth City State University. As I celebrate my 50th class reunion, I reflect on how Elizabeth State University provided me with the educational foundation to have a successful career in public education, higher education, and business while fostering my commitment to community service. My desire to develop professional knowledge and expertise through diverse educational pursuits and to give back as a professor at my alma mater for 17 years led me to pursue this next humbling endeavor. Therefore, I agree to become a contestant in the 2021-22 ECSU National Alumni Association Incorporated Mr. and Mrs. Alumni Contest to raise money for scholarships and other students' initiatives. I am competing against four other contestants. The contestants raising the most funds will be announced as the winner on Friday, October 1st, 2021. And the coronation will be held on Thursday, October the 21st. I would appreciate your support in making a tax-deductible donation, tax-deductible, so you can file it on your taxes, during these unpredictable times. Many students are struggling to pay college tuition." She does have some amounts on here, but to me, whatever you're able to give is a help, regardless of how much it may be. So do not look at these numbers if you do come to me to contribute to this. Just whatever's on your heart that you're able to do, I'm most grateful for to be able to forward it to her. I will give you information as you donate so that way you'll have proof of your donation. And Viking Pride.
And again, we do support our traditional black colleges and universities, as we also have Virginia University of Lynchburg that we support. As a matter of fact, we have our president of that college is here in this church. So that'll be coming up in December. So support your black colleges and universities. Amen? Amen. Amen. And speaking of support, we thank you for what you've been able to do for Crossroad. In honoring God with your tithes and offerings, we're going to ask the officers if they would come forward at this time. And we will ask the blessing over the offering and thank God that he made it possible for us to give. May we all stand as we present our gifts.
Shall we pray? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord God, we come right now being as obedient stewards. As one of your commandments was, Lord God, that we bring our resources into your storehouse, that it may be filled. So, Lord, we come this morning, Lord God, offering up these fruits unto you. Father, we ask you to increase it. And, Father, we ask your blessings upon those who gave and those who had a heart to give. And, Lord, we pray that you would bless them, Lord God, with the resources, Father, that they can give back unto thee. So now, Lord, we're asking you to just increase it as you see fit, and your Holy Spirit to direct us in how to use it. Thank you, O God, for the gift as well as the giver. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Dying, he saved us. Amen. He rose again to justify us. And for that, we are grateful. We got a great series that we're going to be working on beginning today. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to start a series entitled Dry Bone Situations. Dry Bone Situations. And it's going to be interactive, the first time that we've been interactive with a sermon series. But turn in your Bibles there to Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 5 is where we will be starting in this study. And it reads, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Preach upon these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Thank God for his word. May he bless us as we hear it and receive it. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for blessing us to enter into this place of worship. Thank you for those that's joining online in the parking lot. Pray that the message would touch their hearts as we begin this series. Speak to us clearly that we might know thy will, and in knowing we might serve you more and love you more. God, I pray that we would be changed by what we hear today, and that we would indeed be changed for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in a trophy shop this past week, and I saw a T-shirt from the University of Virginia that struck my eye. Nothing significant about the shirt, its color. But it had on there five pillars. These five pillars were developed by the head coach of the basketball team, Tony Bennett. And these five pillars laid the foundation and guiding principles that helped them to achieve a national championship. And I said, man, that's pretty good. They took five principles, and they were able to use that to discipline themselves in order to win a national championship. Five pillars are humility. Know who you are. Humility. Second pillar is passion. Do not be lukewarm. I said, man, you're talking to the church now. So you got humility. Know who you are. Then you've got passion. Do not be lukewarm. What's the third one? The third one is unity. Unity. Do not divide our house. I said, now I know you're talking to the church now. We need that. Unity. Do not divide our house. But remember, he used it for a basketball team. And they won a national championship. So we got humility, we got passion, we got unity. What's the fourth one? The fourth one is servanthood. Servanthood. Besides servanthood, it said make your team members better. Don't worry about your show. Make your team members better. I said, man, I know that's the church. Amen. Then the last one, number five, thankfulness. Learn from each circumstance.
thankfulness. So you got humility, know who you are. Passion, do not be lukewarm. Unity, do not divide our house. Servanthood, make the team members better. And thankfulness, learn from each circumstance. They went on to defeat Texas Tech in March of 2019, 85-77 in overtime. I watched it. Man, I was thrilled. When they started jumping up and down, I started jumping up and down. Because they had won their first basketball national championship. Even when they had Ralph Sampson on the team. Y'all remember him? Ralph Sampson, 7 feet tall, 7 feet 4 inches tall. He tall guy. They didn't win it then because they lost to North Carolina State. I watched that one too. And I said, oh. But boy, when they won in March of 2019, I said, now we're doing it. But they had principles to drive them. Principles, five principles. Humility, passion, unity, servanthood, and thankfulness. What if Tony Bennett had said to himself, I'm not going to give them these principles because it's mine. I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm going to tuck it away. I don't think they would have done so well. What if the team members had said to themselves, you can talk all you want to. We're not going to follow your principles. Now, in 2009, when Bennett came to that team, they didn't look like anything else other than national champions. But in 10 years, he turned the team around. And it wasn't him. It was the principles, things they stood for, things they believed in. I want to ask you today, what principles do you truly believe in? People say, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Yeah, you believe the Bible, but specifically, what is it that's driving your life? You got a whole lot of options now. You can have your own personal agenda, which a lot of people follow. But is that going to give you the place that you need in life? Are you going to be a champion of your life, or are you going to be a victim of circumstance? Are you going to say, I got the victory, we won in life, or are you going to say, I'm nothing but a loser? Remember now, you say, it's my life, but if you don't have something to guide you, something to steer you, something to help you when you have those weak moments, you're not going to be a champion. Now, we can read the people about the people in the Bible. We say, oh, that's the folks in the Bible, and they were supposed to win. They were folks just like you and me. They bled when they got cut. They hurt. They went through pains. They went through struggles just like you and I. They faced opposition. Anytime you got to walk everywhere you go, you know it's bad. They didn't have vehicles. And a lot of them didn't have horses, they didn't have mules, they didn't have ways of getting around. And yet many of them became champions, champions, because they had something to guide your life. So my question to you today, what's guiding your life? I'm going to tell you the reason why I'm saying all of that in a few minutes, but because I want this church to be a championship church. Don't look around and say, well, we need to be better than they. It's not about being better than every other church. It's about being better than the devil. Amen. Our war, our competition is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spirit, against spiritual darkness in high places. That's who we're fighting against. We're not trying to be better than any other church. No, we're just trying to be a church that happens to be a championship church. It all starts with you and me getting down to these principles and saying, God, what you got to tell me? All right, so let's start this thing. Are y'all ready to go with me on this journey? I was so excited when the Lord showed me this thing. I said, Lord, I've read Ezekiel numbers of times. I've gone through that passage, and now I preach from it. Speaking life in a dead zone. That's one of my sermons I preach. You can look it up online. Go to crossroadbc.com. You can look up that sermon online. But the thing is, can we say within ourselves that I'm a winner for Jesus? I'm a champion for God. If you can't say it, there's got to be a reason why. And Coach Bennett went to that school, and he looked at that team. He thought to himself, and by the way, he's a Christian man. He thought to himself, I need some divine intervention. If we're going to turn these students around and get them thinking like champions, we better have God on our side. And I said, what better place is it needed than the church of the living God for us to think like champions? But here we are thinking like a bunch of losers. And don't you know that God, through Christ, has caused the devil to be under our feet, and yet most of us are looking at him as over our head? I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Let me reel you into this passage. The Spirit of God, and as some translations say, the Holy Spirit took Ezekiel, snatched him up from where he was, and brought him into a valley that was full of dead, dry bones. You just wrap that around your mind. It's one thing for you to see a couple of bones, but a valley full of dry bones. They were everywhere, all scattered, all disconnected. And here is God that had the audacity to ask Ezekiel, can they live? You know, a lot of us would get back and we would run our little smart report on our smartphone. We'd Google it and we'd say, okay, can the bones live? It's not an answer that you can get on your smartphone. You can't Google it. Ezekiel gave the right answer. He gave the Holy Spirit's answer. Lord, you know. You know. Now, before we go too far in thinking that this passage was written to us, it was not written to us directly. Are y'all with me? One of the things you've got to do, if you're going to understand Scripture, you've got to understand it in its proper context. Who it was written to. This was about the children of Israel. They had been in captivity a long time. Babylonians had come in, conquered their nation, and destroyed them. Now they're living scattered everywhere. It's kind of like a big family, you know. And everybody gets scattered here and there, and it's only when your family reunion comes, you try to get everybody back together. But they're everywhere. In this case, they couldn't bring them back together. It's kind of like that little saying we have, Humpty Dumpty. Sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Tried to put them back together again. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put them back together again. Why didn't somebody call the king? They had a problem. They had a national problem. And the problem was, we cannot be a nation if we're scattered among all the other nations. And that's when God brought Ezekiel into this realm of understanding. God brought him into this vision of dry bones scattered everywhere. God said, I want you to see this. And I want you to know that this is bad. As Henry Blackaby said, this was a God-sized problem. So God brought him there. And then God questioned him. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Yes or no? Ezekiel said, as a third answer, you know. You know. And then God said something amazing, which we'll get into next week. He said, prophesy, which means preach. Not only preach to them where they are now, but preach to them where they can be if they trust me. If they believe that I'm God, and if they believe that I'm almighty, Ezekiel, the words you say to them will be so powerful that it'll raise them up. And y'all remember how the old preachers used to say, and he preached, and the foot bone got connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone got connected to the leg bone. and the leg bone got connected to the hip bone. That's why the old preachers used to preach, right? Y'all remember that? You remember that? And you left that service thinking, man, them bones sure did get together. They sure got together. You learned a lot about bones, but you didn't learn a lot about dry bone situations. That's why if you see this in the context of what Ezekiel saw, an impossible problem that only God could solve. Now that we understand the context of the scripture, let's look at your life and let's look at my life. How many of you all have been in a place where you said, I'm never going to get out of this? Raise your hand. Financial difficulty. And you said to yourself, I don't see how in the world I'm going to get through this. And yet, as that old song says, he brought me through this, and he brought me through that. Lord, I'm... Come on, say it, y'all. Yeah, give him a hand clap. Give him a hand clap. Yeah. So you looked at the situation. You found yourself not really in Ezekiel's valley, but down in your valley. You saw yourself in a condition that you thought, I'm never going to get out of this. Dry bones. Marriages that are going southward, being destroyed. And you said to yourself, dry bones. Relationships that you said, it's never going to get any better. Dry bones. Listening to the doctors when he gives the report and says, there's no more that I can do. Can I talk to you? Children seemingly that you brought up the right way and yet they choose to go elsewhere and do something else. Dry bones. You right in the middle of it. And you saying to yourself, Lord, I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it. This is what I call a what the situation. I know y'all are super spiritual, you know. I know you praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. But every now and then you're going to step into one of those what the situation. Let's be real. Let's be real. And the devil will do everything he can to get you to not only give up, but to become one of the most bitterest person that you could ever be. All because you got a dry bone situation. Now, Tony Bennett, not the singer, but the coach. Tony Bennett looked in that situation at UVA, and he said to himself, I think I got something here. So what I want to give you is five principles that we're going to apply not only to the crossroad, but we're going to also apply it to our personal life. I believe it'll work. And the Holy Spirit gave me this. The Holy Spirit gave me this, but not just for me. I'm going to be like Tony Bennett. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to tuck it away and say, boy, I got this, and nobody else is going to get this. I want to share it with you. I want to share it with you because I believe that it will transform the way you think, the way you approach problems in life. I believe that it will work because the Holy Spirit will be invoked in its power in your life. Are y'all ready for these five things? I'm not going to get through all of this message today, and I'm glad I'm divided up into five, at least five sermons. The first one is admission, A-D-M-I-S-S-I-O-N. I double Google checked it. That is the correct spelling, admission. The second one, you ready for this? Observation. Observation. In other words, pay attention. Observation, that's the second one. I'm going to go over them again, so don't worry about it. I don't know whether I can get through all of them. Don't worry, I'm going to give them all to you. Third one, obedience. obedience. That's the third one. Four, expectation. Never look at a dry bone situation and expect it to not get better, because God would have never showed you if he, boy, I'm going to get ready to shout, Miss Matt, I'm going to get ready to shout up here. He would have never showed you the situation if he wasn't going to do something about it. But that's a sermon for the future. Expectation. Number five, gratitude. So y'all got them all? Last one is gratitude. So first one, admission. Second, observation. Third, obedience. Fourth, expectation. And then number five, gratitude. Now, if we get into this thing of admission, what are we really admitting? Know when the problem is bigger than you. Y'all got that? Say it back to me. Okay, boy, y'all catching on. I like this. I really like this. Ezekiel stepped foot in that valley, and automatically he knew that the problem was bigger than himself. A lot of times it takes us, we got this bell curve, this learning curve, you know. First we're going to get to the mountain, then we're going to figure out we can't climb it, and then we're going to just give up and just drift down the other side. That's where we handle problems in life. That's where we look at situations in life. I can't solve it. Let me just get up. Let me just throw up both my hands. Let me just say, it won't work. I tried this thing of calling on Jesus and nobody answered me. Well, maybe he's waiting on you to admit. Now, the word admit has a double use. On the one hand, it means to have access to be able to get a ticket for something. On the other hand, it means confession, to make a statement or declaration. And what we're going to do is we're going to combine that word admission. We're going to combine it. And we're going to say that true admission is something that brings us into God's presence where we declare to him the truth of who we are and what we know. Y'all got that? True admission. You declare to God who you really are. I admitted to God I was a sinner. And God did something about it. God cleaned me up. God forgave my sin and turned me into a new creature. I admitted that. So I not only confessed, but I got a ticket. Now I'm in Christ. How does that look? Now I'm in Jesus. Are y'all excited as I am? Are you learning something? And I got to hurry up and close this sermon because I'm out of time. There's folks out there in the parking lot getting hot. And I respect that. But when you admit that you don't have the answer, when you admit that you're in a valley, Ezekiel said to God, I know you've asked me a question, but here's my answer. Lord, you know. Don't try to be smart about everything. Don't try to be a genius about everything. You're not that smart. You're not that bright. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in that valley. Are y'all still here? Well, I didn't cause it. Somebody else caused it. But you stepped into it. Then you said, what the? God is able to take that. He knows everything about you. Anytime God Almighty will take time to number the hairs of your head, you better know he loves you. You better know he cares about you. Anytime he measures your next heartbeat, you better know he cares. Never look up to heaven and say, Lord, do you care? Of course he cares for you. Somebody said he didn't bring me this far to leave me now. I'm just getting started preaching, and it's time for me to stop. We got to serve communion. But this admission brings you into the presence of God. Here's the way Jesus put it. He said, now, what I want you to do is to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Matthew 11:29. It becomes a learning experience when God brings you to a valley and then God says to you, you're in this valley. Now, I want you to answer this. Can the bones live? And if you, in your honesty, will say to God, admission, Lord, you know, Now you're looking to God for the answer. Jesus never expected you to just come to him and say, okay, God, I got it. I can do it now. You've straightened me out. I got everything in place. No, no, no. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to talk with him. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to receive his word in your life. And if you don't receive his word, you'll never learn anything. I think of the times that we come to church, and a lot of times we come to church, and yeah, we want to hear the good music. We want to hear the singing. We want to hear the preaching. But you know, we leave out never learning what we ought to do. That's where admission comes in. If we're going to be a championship church, then we got to admit we can't do it, Lord. But if you send the power of your Holy Ghost, it can be done. That's the problem. We've been trying to do things in the arm of the flesh, and the arm of the flesh has failed us every time. But if you turn it over to Jesus, come on, shout with me today. If you turn it over to the Lord, God will make a way out of no way. God will provide. We don't see miracles because we're trying to work them. You trying to do it. Amen, somebody. If you want to see a miracle, put it in God's hand. Let him work it out. Watch him make a way out of no way. He'll turn your child around. He'll turn your finances around. He'll turn your sickness around. If you just let him have it. Let him have it. Just don't be talking to God. Say, I know the answer. And here's what I think. Don't give him what you think. Tell him, Lord, I don't know. But I know you're a miracle worker. I know you're a way maker. I know you're a burden bearer. I know you're a friend. I know you're a doctor. I know you're a lawyer. I know that you can do anything but fail. That's your God. That's your God. Amen. Don't wait till you get in the valley to find out that he's God. Know him before you get there. Know him before you get there. I'm getting ready to close here. So Jesus said, take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your soul. This week now, you're going to run into some situations that you're going to ask yourself, what the? But then you ought to ask another question, now what? Don't just settle with, what the? Now what? Now what? Now what do you want me to do? And the Bible says, can I preach to you? The Bible says, stand still and know that I'm God. Better preach. Just stand still. Just stand. Quit shifting around. Quit moving around like you got ants in your pants. Stand still. And then you can say, now what? The story goes, the song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, which is what we need in our drive moan situations. It was sung by African-American slaves. They were out in the field. And they wanted to be close to God. So the hymn started, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Never written down, never put in a hymn. They would sing it at revivals. They would sing it, you know, they would sing it at meetings. But it never was put into writing until Kenneth Morris, songwriter. Kenneth Morris boarded a train from Kansas City, Missouri to Chicago. And he heard a porter singing the song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. And that thing got into Morris's mind. It got into his soul. And he rode the train to Chicago, Al. And by the time he got to Chicago, he said, I got to turn back around. He boarded another train back to Kansas City and found that porter in order to get the words to that song. He added some lyrics to the song. And now it's landed in your hymn book on page 356. You ain't got a hymn book out there, but take my word for it. It's there. I checked it. That song is sung because when you get into a dry bone situation, you got to admit that you don't have it together. One of the verses of that song says it this way. I'm weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close with thee, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. I can hear that old Crossroad choir getting reared back, and they singing it now. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Before we have prayer today, I want you to evaluate your life. Ask yourself, am I in a dry bone situation? This pandemic is enough. I don't know whether you know that this nation is in trouble. This world is in deep trouble. Just when you think the thing gone away, it rebounds and gets something else called a variant. Now you got Delta variant, plus you got some more of them just waiting in the cup. They just waiting like demons, waiting for the time for somebody to call them in the game. Here we go, trying to make our good players a good Christian in a world of demons, in a world of pandemics. And we get asked the question, can you live? I ain't looking at myself. I'm looking at God saying, Lord, you know. But then, Donna, if he brought me this far, what makes me doubt that he won't take me every step? I'm about to shout up in here. All I need, Shay, is a closer walk. That's all I need. I'm not going to tell God what to do. I'm not going to tell him turn right, turn left. I'm not going to be that backseat driver. I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to say, Lord, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. I got to stop preaching. Folks outside getting hot. And they ready for communion. But I want you to think about your situation. And then I want you to do something else. I want to make this interactive. I want y'all to email me. Go to pastor@crossroadbc.com. Email me a little bit about it. You ain't got to give your name. Don't give your name. All you got to say is, I'm in a dry bone situation. Pray for me. Send me an email. Pray for me. Because we're going to get through this. We're going to be able to get together, and we're going to be champions for Jesus Christ. How many of y'all believe that today? He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Let's pray. Father, we admit that we don't have it all together. As a matter of fact, we are just as broken can be. Things that we thought would work out didn't work out. Problems that we thought were solved, and we put a period at the end of the statement, said solved, and now it's a question mark. We're finding ourselves in dry bone situations, just like Ezekiel. But Lord, the same spirit that was with him will be with us. So Lord, what we need today in that admission is you to walk with us. Show us what we need to do. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close with thee. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. In Jesus' name, amen.